Let's face it, my wife isn't always in the mood. That's why I use white wine. White wine contains an organic substance called alcohol. And alcohol increases her desire levels by decreasing her inhibitions. Just one bottle of white wine has helped me check off 75% of my bedroom bucket list.
I find if I have enough of it, I can't even remember the night before. That's good for him and me.
Thanks, white wine. Drink irresponsibly. Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast, episode number 73. I am live in hotel room studio with Andy Forrester because I'm here at Good Nights in Raleigh, and that is where Mr. Forrester is from. So whenever we come out, we awkwardly move a table in a hotel room, and we sit and we chat. And that's how we do it.
We awkward. I love that. We awkwardly move a hotel.
Well, it is, right? It's weird that sitting very low, ground, because they give you an office chair, and then I have this lounge chair that I don't think anybody uses.
I think those are the exact same ones that they put in the room after your wife's had a baby.
Yes,
aren't those like that? Looks like the one that the husband gets to sleep in here too.
Yeah.
Oh, why don't you just bring me a bed of rocks?
Yeah,
because that would be a lot better than this horrible piece of crap.
Yeah, I feel like it's a reclining, and you're right, and that it's a chair that reclines enough to where I feel like you could sleep. You wouldn't want to,
right?
But if there was a chair that you had to sleep in, other than a full blown like recliner, this would be the one.
Yeah, well, like I've never understood that, like the idea. Like I can fall asleep in a Lazy Boy. It's called a Lazy Boy. But the hospitals are like, you know what we should do is get the worst version of this type of thing that kind of converts into a bed, and we'll do that. And it's like it's murder. It really. I have fallen asleep on a pool table before, so anything's possible. And I slept on something the night. On our first one, the night when my wife was like induced, and I got yelled at because I fell asleep for like maybe an hour. Yeah. She's like, "Why are you sleeping?" I'm like, "Cause it's the middle of the night and you're not having a baby yet. You're killing me." Like, I love that I got yelled at because, like, I'm like, I can't help it. Like, I am just as big as you are at the moment, and nothing's going to come out of me at the moment.
We're both delivering something here on some level.
If I don't sleep, I can't hold that leg later. So let me.
My dad had that happen where my mom had a false alarm, and they sent her back home, and so he went and crawled in bed. And she's like, "What are you doing?" He goes, "I'm going to get some sleep." And she goes, "How could you sleep right now? We're about to have a baby." Like. He goes, "Well, I think I'm going to need this sleep later."
Yeah.
So they came back to the hospital at like 10:30, I think, at night or something. And she was going through labor. And he goes, "See, aren't you glad I got sleep now?" My dad is a colossal dick.
I love that. That is totally a, I thought this one through.
Yeah.
Or at least I thought up a good enough story to make you seem like I'm not a dick. Like, that's what he...
This is where I get it. He can't let that stuff go. That's where I get it from either. Like, he's like, "See, what I did was right."
Oh, yeah. No, I wouldn't have done that. I would have at some point gone, you know, like maybe after the baby was home and everything.
No.
Like, oh, God, can you imagine if I hadn't gotten that nap or something?
No, you did it right in the middle.
Sweet. Yeah, that's
right.
No, I got you. I missed that part.
I was barely crowning, and he was like, "See, aren't you glad I got sleep?" Because she was losing her mind and screaming, and he was calm, cool, and collected. So one of the things that I want – there's two things I want to talk about. One of the things I want to talk about to see what goes on – because here's what I realized in arriving in Raleigh. It is the first week of December as of this recording, so people are hearing it a week later.
Okay.
But the holidays are amongst us, upon us, if you would.
Yeah.
And I feel like not only are we in the South, but we're also in kind of a there's trees abound.
Yes.
So I feel like Christmas is a bigger deal here. Am I crazy? Or?
No. It is. I think it is. I think it's funny though to like look at Like when you look at houses, like I have lights on my house, which is, you know, fairly amazing if you know me, because yeah. I have fallen off a ladder and have a metal pole in my leg from hanging Christmas lights. So one would think I would
Are you serious?
No, I'm serious. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm so glad I brought this up.
Oh yeah, I have metal in my shoulder. I have metal in my leg.
You know, what's funny is I was about to ask you the bit of like, are you the guy whose Christmas lights stay up year round? And I'm venturing that those are the same lights from when you got your metal pole.
Yeah. No. It was. Well, to answer your first question, I think it's a big deal. I don't put as much in. I mean, I like Christmas lights. I think they look neat. You know, like I honestly think. Well, this is not a bad idea all year long, you know. Like, there's a building here in town that puts a bow on the whole building.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, how big of a building are we talking about?
It's like a 2 or 3 story building, and I think they do real estate. But it's like a huge
bow that wraps around and
yeah, it's custom made for this building, and they do it every year, but they don't keep it up all year long.
Yeah.
And I passed by it to get here, and I was like. And I've seen it before. I love it. And I was like, they should do that all year long. And then I thought, well, that would take away from the specialness of it.
Of the Christmas, yeah.
So when they put it up, you're like, that is so. And I really was like, I want to stop in and just say, I love that bow. Because it's huge. It's like probably made of metal because of the way but it's a nice shiny red bow around this building. And it's a brick building. So it just looks really neat. I love it. So there's stuff like that. You know, they have, there's a shopping center near where I live, Briar Creek. And they have horse-drawn sleighs through the shopping center and that sort of thing. And they've even had like portable ice rinks before, so you can go out and ice skate and that kind of stuff. So, and they actually have that downtown rally all year long. I took my princess tribe to it 1 year. So, so there's, you know, they love, I think like it's big here in the South. You know, I guess probably if you view it the way logically, in the South, people are more Christian, Christmas, oddly enough, a Christian holiday.
What?
So yeah, I know. The news to a lot of people, and I think that's probably it. It's probably like I don't know about you live in LA, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that LA is complete.
More Jews.
Oh, okay. I'm not gonna lie to you. That never dawns on me ever.
No, they run the banks and the entertainment system.
And I'd heard that, but having never been there, I wouldn't know. So I don't,
Here's the thing. I think like most things, stereotypes are there for a reason.
No, here's a rude question. Uh-huh. Please take no offense. Are you Jewish?
No,
I'm out of here.
I'm out of here.
I like how that worked, no matter what the answer was.
When I was first starting doing stand-up, I took a class, and I made some kind of, like, Holocaust joke about The Price is Right, and everybody laughed. Like, I can't remember what the joke was, but that was we were talking about The Price is Right, and I said some kind of, like, a Holocaust thing.
Yeah.
And somebody goes, oh, that's funny. They go, I didn't know you were Jewish. And I go, I'm not. And then there was kind of like, oh.
Well, that
like,
changes everything.
Yeah, like oh, now yeah, they couldn't laugh yeah. at the funny joke I made. Yeah.
And take back all the laughs.
And I guess, like, for me, I'm an atheist, right? So, but I love Christmas. I like the idea of it. I like all things Santa. I like the lights. I like the smell of pine trees.
I'm right there with you, by the way.
Right. I'm all on board.
Yeah.
Having this conversation with you, I think next year I'm going to celebrate Hanukkah. Why not have?
Yeah, yeah.
A present a day for 11 nights, whatever it is. I might have to read a book.
Yeah, yeah.
Jump in with the.
It's so funny. I don't want to like hop from story to story, and then
that's okay.
And then you're like,
here's the thing. I've already got a pin, and we're going to go back to the time you fell off the ladder hanging Christmas lights.
Yeah, yeah.
We got to go back to that. But jump around all you want.
I recently did a show for the Jewish Federation over at Goodnight.
They're a federation? That sounds very military-ish.
Something like that. It was like the Jewish Foundation. Foundation.
That's different.
That might be a little better. The Federation sounds like the space is involved, and it's a bunch of Jews going, it's these aliens. Anyway, it's terrible. It's so terrible. It's terrible. So, no, I've done these weird shows in the last like October and November. October I did a show at a comic book store, and November I did a show for the Hell's Angels, and then the
Charlie Varicola told us the story last night,
and the Jewish Foundation.
Did you do the
podcast?
No, we were he came and met Heath and I.
Oh, yeah.
And we were talking outside the hotel, and he told us about how you did the show for Hell's Angels, and that you went to their turkey cookout.
Oh, holy crap!
I can't wait to hear about that.
But so I did that. So, and here's the funny part. You know, again, comic book people,
mm-hmm.
Hell's Angels,
and Jews.
The of the three, my people. The comic book people. Those are my people. Who did I do worse with? The comic book people. And here's why. My favorite comic book artist is Todd McFarlane. I don't care who you are. He's like the Vinci of comic book.
He makes all the figures, too.
He's tremendous. But apparently...
Spawn was his thing.
He created Spawn. He did the best version of Spider-Man. He's the greatest ever. But apparently in the comic book community, he's considered a bit of a dick. And,
really?
Yeah. He just has like a bad reputation for being a jerk. And he, which, you know, I can't say one way or the other. I don't interact with him. I just love his artwork. You know, I'm kind of like, I don't need to know what he does. I just love his artwork.
Like Michael Jackson.
Yeah. Except if there's diddling kids, I'm not a fan. But although I do like Michael Jackson's music.
I think you're being narrow-minded.
I do like... I do like Michael Jackson's music, but I'm not on board with any of that. If it's true, but so I mentioned that, you know, I wanted to know what I was dealing with at the comic book store. And I was like, hey, everybody, raise your hand if you know who Todd McFarlane is. I just wanted to get a feel for the room, and everybody raises their hand. And I said, now keep your hand raised if we all agree he's the greatest comic book artist that ever walked the face of the earth. And they all put their hand. Every one of them, like, not a one of you are on board with me. Not a one.
Really?
So they weren't on board with me. But I had a good time with the Hells Angels. I'll tell you about that. But the Jewish people. I have one joke in my act, and it's called, the name of the joke is called The Star of David. Now, keep in mind, I'm what's known as a pretty clean comic.
Yeah.
I curse little to none at all. And
you might say ass, yes?
Depending on what kind of show it is, I might say shit when I tell the story about my kid crapping off the side of the tub. But other than that, it's pretty clean.
Yeah.
And, but this joke, depending on what you're dealing with, and so I'm talking with the Brad who headlined the Jewish show, and I was like, let me just show you just for fun. Here's what I normally, because he's making fun of me for writing out a set list. He goes, why do you do that? I was like, he goes, you know what you're gonna do. I'm like, yeah, but you know. So anyway, I said, just for fun, I showed him. Normally I write this. I said, but I'm not doing that joke. And he was like, why not? And I don't just write out Star of David. I draw the Star of David. And he goes, and he says, tell me the joke. And so I tell him, he goes, you got to tell that. And I was like, no.
Is Brad Jewish?
No. I know. I've asked him many times. And
are you sure? Are you sure? Reader? You're trying to tell me Reader is not?
That's the funny thing. I really don't know what names. I know some, but I don't really. I'm not good
at that. It's his nose. That's makes him. You guys don't know this when we're talking about Brad Reader, who used to own the Good Nights Club out there. Yeah. Very nice guy.
Very. And so anyway, I he said, you got to do it. Well, I was scared to death, but I did anyway. And so I say I went to go help my kids out at school for the multi-holiday day. They can't say they're having a Christmas party anymore. I said, and, you know, I'm good with that.
Yeah, because I feel like, and maybe it's unfair to say this, but I feel like you're literally sitting in the room of the people that are responsible for it being called a holiday party.
Yeah. And so I was like... I said, you know, and I'm fine with that, and that's exactly how you know I am. I'm very open minded / you know could care less type thing, and I was like, you know, and I'm good with that. I said, I'm also a bit of an artist, so I offered to help out with some of the crafts. And the teacher said, well, can you help out with the Jewish craft? I'm like, not a problem. I literally don't know anything about the Jewish culture, but I'm here to help whatever you need. And she said, well, if you would just draw a Star of David for all the kids to decorate, and apparently there's an enormous difference between the Star of David and a pentagram. And then I say, those kids did a bang-up job on those pentagrams. They really did. One kid drew a goat face right in the middle of his, and the wall started bleeding. Some girl's head was spinning. We had a good time. And I was worried. They were rolling.
They loved it.
They loved it. And because I'm like, it's kind of like if you make, and I've done rooms where like it's a large black audience, largely a black audience. Mm-hmm. They're not large. Well, some. And you'll say something that's not racist per se, but it's just, it even gets close and, you know, you see some people just clench up and I'm like, I'm just taking a chance here. This could ruin me. And then they loved it. And then I did the Slim Jim bit and I say pork is one of the ingredients. And I said, pork, and I have a really big smirk on my face, and I say, which from what I understand, some of you are not a big fan of, and they love that, and so I couldn't resist. I took my opportunity. I said, I'll never have this chance again to be in front of this many Jewish people. I was like, have y'all ever had bacon? Like, seriously, like, it is one of the greatest things ever, and they loved it. And I was like, seriously, I said, I couldn't tell which one of you are Jewish or not. I'm just going to assume you all are. And so I just picked some dude. I'm like, have you ever had bacon? Yeah, and he was like, yes. Oh, thank goodness. I was really worried for you people that you. And here's
he was shunned the next day.
Almost every person when they left the show, I'd stand there at the door. They were like, I love bacon. Like, they would whisper it to me. Like, almost. So, and this one lady was like, I love it. I don't eat it, but I love it. I was like, you know, I respect that. If you're not supposed to do it or whatever, fine. If that's what your belief is. I said, but the fact that you know it's fabulous, that's all I need to know, is that you know it's as great as everyone says it is. Like, So
tell us about the – because here's the story that I heard. The story that I heard about the Hell's Angels was that – for anybody who doesn't know, Charlie Varicola is he's a comic who sounds like he smokes 3 packs a day. Like, he's got a this to his voice,
he's
you know.
Rough.
He's a little rough around the edges, always wears a beanie, and he's like, you know, this is what you fucking do, you know. Yeah. And
he opens for Carrot Top in Vegas.
Right.
Like once a month or something. And he helps write a lot of Carrot Top stuff, and here's the funny part of it. The guy who had the show happens to be the owner of the local strip club here in Raleigh.
Outstanding.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I will let you know that I have never been in one of those establishments. I've done numerous things with this guy. Never been there. I've never been to one.
You've never patronized one of his storefronts?
I've never been to any strip club.
Not once?
No. I've only.
You want to pop that cherry this weekend?
I'm good.
You sure?
The only naked ladies I have seen are my wife and the ones from life modeling class in art school. And those were.
You gotta put a pin in talking about that, too.
My first real bona fide, hey, there's a naked lady in person, was in art, like in clay modeling class. And man, they wish they'd have picked somebody else, because that was. Anyway, so this guy calls me and he's like, hey, We're meeting at Sullivan's to talk about this show, and I need you to do some artwork. I'm an artist. I do graphic design work, and I've done some for him. I was like, okay.
So you were making, like, posters and stuff.
I was going to make a poster.
Yeah.
And that's all I thought I was there for. And but it's like a Monday night, and he's like, we're meeting at 8 o'clock. And I'm like, okay, well, that's bedtime at my house for kids. So, you know, good for you that you don't have to deal with that crap, but I do. So, you know, how long are you going to be there? Oh, like an hour and a half, 2 hours. I was like, okay, well, I'll give it my best. So I helped put kids to bed or shower or whatever. And then I just was like, all right, I got to go. And my wife didn't seem excited, but I really didn't care. I was like, this is me going to make some money doing artwork. I need to be there. So he said we were going to meet there. So I get there, and I assume it's him and Brad, because the show's going to be a good night. And Brad's not there. And I walk in. I was like, yeah, I'm here to see Dana. And, oh, yeah, he's over there. And I start walking towards the table, and there's Dana. And there's Charlie Varicola. And they're these two dudes in these biker outfits. And I'm like, I don't necessarily know.
When you say biker outfits, you mean like village people? Or?
I'm talking like they
Sons
are
of Anarchy.
Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah.
I believe, and again, don't quote me on this, but I think the Sons of Anarchy is supposed to be like a take on the Hell's Angels.
Oh, really?
I've never seen the show, and I don't know enough about the Hell's Angels to say, but... I know a lot about fonts.
So you could tell by the Helvetica that they had on the back of their jacket.
They don't use Helvetica.
Let's talk.
That's the only font you know.
Not enough podcasts. It's my go-to humor. That right. or Sans. Yeah, what's the
Comic Sans that everybody hates? Yeah, Sans Serif.
Sans Serif.
Serif for Sans.
Those are my funny ones.
Yeah, but those aren't fonts. Those are descriptions of a font. If it has a serif, it has.
Don't you rub my nose in your knowledge of
Helvetica
fonts.
Helvetica is Sans Serif.
What's the font that the Hell's Angels puts on the back of their jean vest?
The funny thing is, I can't remember the name of it, because I had to use it for something, or I looked up for something similar to it. And it's like a cowboy western type font, but it's not, you know, like, but it's got these little divots in the tops and bottoms.
Buckaroo
of the,
something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Playbill or something. It's interesting.
Chili bowl.
Yes. You laugh, but you could pretty much type in any word in a font font search base, and it'll be like, here it is. Like, you know, somebody's coming up with it. Butt gravy. Here's butt gravy font, and that's terrible. Who would come up with that? I should stop.
You need to create butt gravy
I need
font.
To make butt gravy. That sounds terrible.
There's like, to me, I feel like butt gravy font, at some point, there's like the double curve of a butt.
Right, right, yeah. Well, technically, that is
so
what...
like a B
that
would be the easiest
That
one.
Is a little bit what the Hell's Angels font looks like. It looks
really?
Like a little butt, yeah. At the bottom of the end of and tops of each letter. But anyway,
this is getting sexy.
I know. I'm very sorry. So anyway, we're having dinner with these guys, and I'm just supposed to be making the poster, and I'm getting all the details, and they're like, they're hiring a guy who touts himself as the funniest biker, you know, comedian or whatever, and then Charlie's gonna be the other comic, and Charlie's like, we need a third. And Dana's like, well, if you think we need a third, we'll get a third. And so Charlie just puts his hand on my shoulder and is like, he's like, Big A. And I was like, sure. When is this show again? And I was like, and then I said, just so y'all know, I'm a clean comedian. I just want you to be aware of that. Like, I am not. And Charlie's like, you're family. You're a family comedian. They'll love it. They'll love it. I was like, okay. And so, you know, Charlie ends up asking all these. I'm very naive. Like, I'm the kind of guy who would get around a stripper and be like, so you like doing, like, I would just ask a bunch of stupid questions. Yeah.
I want to hire a hooker. Yeah. I'll be honest. Yeah. I want to hire a hooker so that I can experience what a professional fucker feels like, number one. But number two, I would more like to have the pillow talk before and after. Yeah. Like, you know, I want to ask them about their life story, which I think is always, like, it's always going to break bad.
Right, right. Well, and so that's...
I would much rather have coffee with a stripper than a lap dance.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I was going to say. You know you're married. And you keep saying, well, I want to have pillow talk and a professional. You know, no. But the coffee's a good idea. Yeah. And
well, no, I'm not. I know I can't do it.
I know. I'm just always
unless
worried.
My wife dies prematurely weird circumstance.
I'm just worried about your wife listening. And she doesn't always listen. Always. And So we're asking questions, and you know, they start saying some things. They're like, well, you know, you can't be too careful. You know, who's, and I'm like, I said, I have to tell you, I'm just as dumb and naive as I look. I was like, I'm innocent. I'm not up to no good. He's like, well, you know, they start telling us things like, you know, yeah, we'll get kicked out of a bar just for, you know, just for wearing what we wear.
Oh,
really? And I'm like, who the hell would kick? Like, the one guy's like 6'5" and 300, you know, pounds. Or I was like, who's gonna kick you out of anything? You're scary.
Yeah.
And but they're really nice. So don't. Yeah. It's not like it's two really creepy dudes. It's
well,
just,
Charlie was saying that it's like the Hell's Angels aren't what they used to be as far as like in the '70s. They're still intimidating.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that there's guys, but it's not the same. You know, they'd go to the, like he said that you went to like a turkey cookout in Durham,
right?
Where like people had died from parties and stuff.
Yeah. It was. But so one of the questions Charlie asked that night at the dinner was, what are those metal pins on your jacket for? And I literally looked at Charlie like, would you shut the hell up? Like, I know
there
when
are things
like,
we don't want to like, know.
And the guy goes, you know, my line of business. And I'm sitting there thinking, this is a business? This is weird. And he's like, my line of business. Some questions, you know, you just don't. He was like, I looked at Charlie like, yeah, shut the hell up. Because I assume, you know, it maybe not be the best thing. And so we do the show. And I, you know, a couple of weeks later, a month later, and it was a good time. I was definitely a little more nervous.
That's what one of the what's his name, the guy that works in the kitchen or the bar. Yeah. He's the bartender,
Mike.
So, Mike, yeah, he said he goes. Andy was really nervous.
I mean, you got to look at it like this. Like there's, I know, you know, I know what I am in terms of a comedian. I know what I'm like on stage, and I don't know. And Charlie went up as the MC. He made me the feature.
Yeah,
the guy who's. Oh, sweet.
Yeah, somebody from Vegas is trying to call me. Sorry. Okay. All right, go on.
So he made me the feature act. So I'm doing more time, and they're going to see me before the headliner goes on. I don't know the headliner. I mean, not nice guy, but I didn't know him. But I see Charlie go up. Charlie's like, you know, F this and blah, 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 and a lot of filth.
Killing,
and
I'm sure.
Yeah. And yes, exactly. He's killing, and he's just MCing, but he's killing. And then I go up. And I even said at one point, I'm like, just so y'all know, I am not Mr. Phil Flarn and Filth. You know, I am
Phil Flarn and Filth.
Yeah. That's
Phil Flarn and Filth.
I believe that's the Bill Cosby quote.
Phil Flarn and Filth.
You know, that's, I think he said what he said about like Eddie Murphy. It's either Eddie Murphy doing Bill Cosby or Bill Cosby going, I don't need all this Phil Flarn and Filth. And so this is a terrible Bill Cosby. Or maybe that's a terrible Eddie Murphy doing Bill Cosby. But anyway, so I had said one point, like, if y'all are hoping for a lot of curse words, and I said that, and then this guy, he had apparently heard the headliners touting himself as the world's funniest comedian, world's funniest biker, and he's like, how do we know? I wasn't invited. And in the end, he was pretty funny. The guy in the audience was pretty funny. He wouldn't shut up during the show, and my favorite is when the door guy comes up to me and says, God, he won't shut up, man. I don't know what to do. I'm like, are you going to try to throw a Hell's Angel out of the show that's made for the Hell's Angels? Yeah. Like, 'cause that seems really stupid. I mean, you're big, but you're not as big as that dude. And there's a whole group of people here that'll whip your ass. And so anyway, at one point he just says some random stuff and it's got F words in it and everything. And I just paused and I was like, I can't believe Oprah hasn't given you your own show. You're just a plethora of sage advice here. And I just repeated back exactly what he said. So in the end, I did end up cursing a little bit, which it's because he was just like, man, all you need's like I got five kids, man. All you need's like $1,000. I have a couple more, man. I ain't give a fuck. And I don't care what you, hell, man, who gives you shit? And I was like, oh my God. And the funny part is when we went back to the biker bar, I ended up sitting beside the dude, and he's asking me all kind of crazy questions, like, you know, like, man, you know when you're drinking? I'm like, no. He's like, what do you mean? I was like, yeah, I don't drink. I don't smoke. I've never been drunk, never been high. He's like, what the hell do you do? I'm like, you're looking at it. I eat. This is what I do. I'm a professional at it. And then later he's getting into this conversation about
sponsored by Krispy Kreme.
Yeah. And later he's like getting into a conversation about fights, and he's like, man, you know, when he fights and stuff. I was like, no. He's like, when's the last time you got in a fight? Like, none of that schoolyard bullshit, like a real grown man fight. I'm like, never. Like, ever, ever, ever.
A real grown man fight.
I punched my brother one time, and then my other brother, I think I smacked him upside the head. And that's it. Like, that's brothers. That was when we were kids, so never. He's like, what the hell do you do? I'm like, I don't get in fights. I tell jokes and have a wife and two kids.
That's what I like the most about this story is that, you know, like, a lot of the guys listening, some of them may have had wild oats at some time, but we're all just like guys in the suburbs who mow lawns on Sunday and, you know, before the game and yada, yada, yada.
I'm officially the old man that's out there going, damn it, I just raked the yard and there's five leaves out there. That's exactly what I am now.
The idea of you being at the Thanksgiving with the Hell's Angels.
So I go to that. Awesome. I go to that. They and I had totally forgotten it. They gave me a flyer and I laughed when they gave it to me like that night at the sports bar.
Charlie said, he goes, they invited us to the turkey cookout. And I go, fuck it, I'll go. He goes, I go there. And he goes, Andy's there. Like, I just show up and he's there.
Well, here's what happened, and I totally forgotten. I took the flyer home. I'm sure I have it somewhere, but I kind of lost track of it, so I didn't remember what day it was. I'm at my daughter's Bollywood dance class, and I suddenly get a message on Facebook, because several of the Hell's Angels are a friend of me. It's very funny. And again, they are super nice. A lot of them brought their wives, and their wives were, you know, hilarious, so it was a good time. And one of them messaged me. He goes, hey, are you coming to our event today? And I was like, When is that again? He's like, noon until, you know, I didn't know like what time, because I knew I had something that evening. He was like, noon until, and I was like, I'll check with the wife and see. And I get home, and she's like, sure. She kind of knows it's a lark. She kind of knows it's like, well, this will, you know.
You could be some material, maybe.
Yeah, and she just knows, like, she knows I'm not like, hey, yeah, I'm thinking about joining her.
Yeah,
you
exactly,
know, I'm sure you have to ride a motorcycle, and I failed at that at 16. And,
so a big bearded, tattooed Hell's Angels, big A in a sidecar.
So yes, exactly. So I go.
Like a Cannonball Run sketch.
And it really was as funny as it seems, because I show up, and they're kind of on this kind of rural, I can't say the word rural well, rural road. Mm-hmm. But they have neighbors, which is kind of crazy, because if you think about it, every one of those motorcycles is loud. And every time they turn one on, you know, if you're a neighbor, you're like, oh, God, come on. Yeah, like every time. Yeah. But I live near the airport, so I assume it's similar to that. And they're out like out in the road directing traffic, because any, you know, if a motorcycle wants to back in or something, they're like, let's make it happen. So they just stop any cars that are coming. So I park like, you know, a block away in like somebody's yard, because I don't want to, you know, they've already told me stories
to the biker.
Well, I drive a Hyundai Sonata, and they'd already told me stories of like when people show up to stuff in their crotch rocket, you know, Yamahas or whatever that they're not a big fan of. And, you know, oh, we just hang those up from a tree. I'm
so
like,
you show up in your minivan.
I showed up in my Hyundai Sonata, which is like a sedan And I walk up, and I'm wearing like just a green dress shirt, you know, but I do have on my Five Finger Death Punch t-shirt on underneath it.
Just
in case shit gets real. I got on a skull on my shirt, and I walk up, and you could tell they were all like, but I was like, I dropped the guy's name who invited me, and the guy near the road was like, okay, just go up to the gate. And I could not figure out where the opening was, and because we're talking gated 10-foot barbed wire.
Oh,
and
really?
Then more barbed wire. Yeah.
So it's like a prison.
It's interesting. And so I go up to the guy at the gate, and there's like three big dudes at the gate, and they look at me, and I was like, you know, this guy invited me, and they all look at each other like, you know him? I'm like, he's one of the main dudes from what I understand. And I didn't say that, but in my head I'm like that, and they were like, well, go on over that table, and apparently you had to pay for whatever this thing was, or donate or something like that. And so I go over there, and I was like, You know, this guy's looking at me weird. And so everybody I approach, like, finally this guy walks up and goes, "Man, I know who you are. You're funny as shit." And I was like, "Oh, thank God. Can you please take me wherever I'm supposed to go? Can we find Jason and just take me to him?" And so we find him. He's inside. There was kids inside. It was a little weird. And then they had like a out. Then they
had the kids in like biker vests and leather.
Not really.
They just look like regular kids.
Just regular kids
with beards.
Of course, very very big beards. A lot of these
piercings.
Kids. Yeah, a lot of piercings, a lot of
brass
tattoos.
Knuckles.
Couple of topless kids. So I go outside and they did. Sure enough, it was a big spread. They got all these turkey legs and stuff. And I was going to eat a country buffet later that night, so my goal was to avoid that food for the most part because. And the guy was like, "Man, you got to try my banana pudding." I was like, "Yeah, I would totally do that, but I don't eat pudding." And then, you know, he's looking at me like, "What? Yeah, I don't eat anything congealed. I'm weird. I got it. I understand." And so I just moved on from there. And I know you're in your head. You're like, "There's another pinpoint. What does he mean he doesn't eat anything congealed?" You don't eat things.
No, I was trying to think if I like banana pudding.
I don't eat any pudding, Cool Whip, yogurt,
Jell-O,
nothing. Nothing congealed.
Frosting?
Frosting is not congealed.
Sorry.
Frosting is made out of...
Wow, easy with the laser
eyes.
Yeah.
Don't screw up the frosting. Frosting is made with butter and powdered sugar.
Okay.
And a lot of love. And anyway, that's...
So you just hung out, you ate with these guys?
And... They had some pizza brought in, and I ended up eating a slice because it was getting later in the day. And I was like, okay, I technically ate a small breakfast, and then I've had...
Oh, you're like, saving up for your
I'm
buffet.
I'm saving up for my buffet that night because I'm going to eat fat back and chocolate cake, and I want to make sure I got, you know, all my Weight Watcher points for that. So so I'm having it's a little weird at times because the guy kind of feels compelled to stay with me and talk to me, and then some other people who saw the show come up and talk to me. Then at one point, they literally all leave me to go do something, and I'm left outside with a bunch of bikers. Not one of them knows me, and they're all kind of eyeing me like, "Who is this turd?" You know, like, you know, they were just – and they're all nice, but I just don't – I'm not going to walk up to people, "Hey, you know me, right?" Like, it's not what was going to happen. And in the end, the guy who owns the strip club was there with Charlie.
Yeah.
He brought strippers.
Yes, he did.
Who they were just eating Thanksgiving dinner. And
how were they dressed?
Not too provocative.
Right.
Like you, one of them, she was wearing
how
kind of
many?
Just two that I could see. Just two that I could
so
see.
So one for him and one for Charlie.
I don't understand. And they were like, "Why didn't you come in the limo with Charlie and Dana?" I'm like, "Yeah, no, and that night they wanted me to leave."
Now hold on, just so I'm clear. The reason you would not ride in a limo with two strippers and Charlie and Dana is for fear of the backlash you would get from your lovely wife?
No. I think because...
Do you think it's too much of a temptation?
No.
Or do you think it's going to be a fuck party in the back of the limo? Or
possibly, but I'm more worried about being trapped without an escape.
What do you mean it's trapped, like in a limo? Like,
imagine if somebody said, "Hey, you want to take the limo and go over to X?" You know what I mean? Now you will. Probably,
I see what you're saying.
You've probably been to a bar and you drink, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't.
Okay.
I don't.
So you're saying they're going to go to this cookout and they're going to make you late for your buffet experience with your family because they're like,
"Hey,
now we're going to go party with strippers."
Yeah. Hey, I didn't know they were going. I certainly didn't know they were going to bring strippers.
Right.
And I didn't know they were going to show up in a limo. I don't care. I was invited. I'm driving my own car.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to leave when I need to, which is what I did. But it was the craziest. I know this is not very daddish, by the way.
No, that's okay.
But
it was a nice palate cleanser.
Yeah, it was insane. And I ended up, I only said probably five words to the strippers, but we all ended up at a picnic
table. I know, that's
table.
What I feel. We started this whole conversation where you'd like to be able, we'd have, like to, both of us would like to have coffee with
the
and ask questions.
I was sitting at the table.
What did you say to them?
I just said, "So do y'all work with Dana?" And they were like, "Yeah." And I was, and you know, they weren't saying like, "Oh,
were they beautiful?"
They were attractive ladies. One of them a little more than the other. There was an African American lady. She was very attractive, and so they were just sitting there eating Thanksgiving dinner. And if I felt like I could have gotten away with asking more questions, I would have. But I think it was just at that moment it was like, well, this probably isn't.
This
like
is why you should drink, because you'd be able to find more of those moments.
No. I think, well, yeah, I get that a lot about a lot of things.
Yeah.
Like, you should drink. I'm like, yeah, I hear, like, you know, one time Brad asked me, he's like, "What do you do to take the edge off?" I'm like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "Well, that's why people drink, to like, so they don't, I was like, yeah, I don't have that. I literally
you don't have
nothing.
An edge.
I have the edge. But I have nothing to take it off. I just, you know.
Maybe it's your art or fonts.
Yeah, it is. It's the comedy is taking the edge off. That's why I'm always baffled when I meet comedians. They're like, well, I got to be drunk or a little high before I go up on stage.
Oh, I couldn't do that, yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, no.
I can't drink before. Rarely. Yeah. Like, there was a brief moment where I'd like to have a beer while I was on stage. But
right.
I don't even like the idea of that.
Yeah.
Even though I know a beer's not going to do anything to
right.
me, I just don't like the idea of being perceived as that guy.
Well, that's the other thing. It's a very bad impression to give any club, you know,
yeah.
unless you're famous and they're like, we don't care if he's drunk or not. He brings in the people.
Exactly.
So they don't want a drunk.
Because I've worked with a guy who had like 5 Jaeger bombs after the first show and would walk people on the second show because he was so hammered and just lay into him or whatever.
No, I can't.
All right. Well, unless there's anything else with strippers or Hell's Angels Turkey Day.
I'm sorry. No, that's
no. Don't apologize.
It was a good time.
I want to make sure I'm not cutting you off.
You're good. It was a good time. It was crazy. And again, it's one of those things you're like, well, this may never happen again.
Yeah.
I had fun and was scared all at the same. Well, the big guy who I'd met that night at dinner was like, see, you're not as apprehensive as you were before, were you? And he comes up and puts and pats me on the shoulder. He's like, nope, still real apprehensive. Like, like you've literally taken the number of people that came to the show and tripled it, and half of them aren't from around here. And, you know, they're all looking at me like, who's this non-tattooed guy in the dress shirt not wearing a black leather jacket?
I got a skull underneath.
Yeah.
I got a skull underneath.
I even said that at one point. I said to the wife of one of the guys, I like talking to her, and she's like, I said, we're going to go ogle the motorcycle. She's like, don't touch him. I'm like, oh, we're good. And somehow we started talking about it. I said, well, I got my 5-Finger Death Punch shirt on if I need to take off my dress shirt, but I didn't want to, you know, I don't know what kind of
you don't want to intimidate those guys.
Yeah, I don't want to scare the crap out of you people.
Yeah, exactly. Know? It's my first day. But I want to go back to hanging Christmas lights.
Okay.
And how, and you, oh, that was just the air conditioner.
The air conditioner sounded like somebody farting. It was just like, your air's coming on. All right.
I heard the air conditioner, and it sounded like there was some guy calling us from the bathroom.
Okay,
that's
so that's what I heard, too. That's
So you were hanging Christmas lights.
So it was 2010. And
oh, my gosh, only 3 years ago.
Yeah. It was 2010, and I...
This is since I've known you then.
Yeah, I think so. It was weird. I actually used to have a day job making the Yellow Pages, graphic designer. Got laid off. Nobody needs the Yellow Pages anymore. Got laid off in 2010.
Fucking internet.
Yeah. And so here I am. Don't have a day job anymore. And so it was December the 10th. And I said, well, I'm going to hang up these Christmas lights. And I have a peek over my garage. And so I hung up the first strand and got it up to the very top and went to go plug in the next one into it. And the strand of lights that I had hung up first, you know how plugs have like a fat and a skinny?
Mm-hmm.
This one only took like a 2 skinny. Like the female end only took 2 skinny. So I had basically hung up, and I figured out that I had to take it down and start over. So I go to take I go to take it down. Now, this ladder I have is a very heavy and tall ladder.
Okay.
It's not easy to manipulate. And so I was taking the lights back down that I just put up so I could start over. And I get down to like that bottom corner of the garage. So not the highest part, the little bottom corner. And instead of retracting the ladder, I just kind of laid it a little more, you know, it's your ladder supposed to be like this for those of you can't see, sort of like up. And I didn't retract it. So it was more like this.
Wait, so this is an extension ladder.
It's an extension ladder.
I see.
That
okay.
I didn't want to unextend.
Unextend.
Because it's just it, like, because I constantly feel like every
so
time
rather
I'm.
Rather than have it at what like might be a 45 degree
right.
angle,
it was
you
more
put
like,
it at, like almost
25.
Like a piece of scaffolding. Like
yeah.
It was almost flat.
It wasn't flat, but it wasn't where it should be.
Right.
And I didn't do something right. And I went up to just go take that last thing off. And all of a sudden it starts to slide down. And I think it kind of leans to the left. So.
Dumps you.
It dumps me. It literally goes, just slams on the ground, dumps me on my left. I fall. It was. I think I closed my eyes. I must have closed my eyes because I wasn't quite sure what happened. And but I end up falling and rolling into the neighbor's yard. We share like a, right between us. Right before all of that, probably 10 minutes before, one of my neighbors came by and was like, man, I can't believe you're doing that. And I was like, well, when you see me, I'm not kidding. I said this. This is before it happened. I said, well, when you come back later and you see me laid out in the grass, I said, don't worry about it. You don't need to call the hospital or anything. I said that almost as a premonition. And and my neighbor, my other neighbor, the next door neighbor, whose yard I rolled into, had come out and said, "Hey, can we borrow the ladder later to put up our lights?" And we did that all the time. I was like, "Sure, not a problem." It's a really tall ladder, so it works well, except it's heavy as shit. And when my dad bought it for me, he was like, "I'm really worried something's going to happen." So he has since passed on, and I'm really glad he didn't know
Good
that
to see
that
the
ever.
Day, yeah.
So I rolled over and I fell down, and I'm like, oh, you know, I'm just kind of like, whew, that was not good. And then I'm like, I kind of can't get up, you know, but I don't understand why. I don't, and I'm
I
like,
kinda can't get
and
up.
I was like, it's probably shock. I probably don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
And so I called my neighbor, things weren't working, and I was like, I have to use my right hand to get my cell phone out of my left pocket.
So, like, the whole left side of your body wasn't working?
Something was wrong. Something was wrong. So, I get my cell phone out, and I call my next-door neighbor. Well, she didn't answer. So and she was on the phone, and completely understandable. If my stupid neighbor called me, not them, but I mean, you know, if I'm your dumb neighbor, I wouldn't answer for me either. And so I had to call a couple of times, and finally she answered, and I said, "Hey, can you come check on me? I'm kind of had a bit of a fall in the yard."
Because your wife even in the country?
And here's the best part: is my wife's in the country, she's at work, but she has told me distinctly. I will be in a party of some sort, a meeting from 12 to 1 or whatever. I will be completely unavailable. It could have been like 11, 12, something like that. But anyway, it was like an hour. She was not going to be available.
You did it right in that window.
Of course.
Yes.
So I didn't call it. So I call my neighbor, and they come out, and
kids are at school?
Their kids are not. Mine are.
Oh.
One's at daycare. One is at school. Their kids are tracked out. So their kids are home. And again, it's like December 10th. They're on a different track than us.
Yeah.
And so she comes out, and then she runs in and gets her husband, and we figure out that I can barely stand, and they're trying to get me up, and they keep wanting to like call the ambulance. And from what I understand, if you call an ambulance, it's like instantly a couple of $1,000 that insurance doesn't cover. And I was like, isn't it like that?
No.
That could be like a TV thing that's in my head.
Yeah, the insurance is supposed to cover it all.
So I'm not smart, and but they came out and helped me, and I was like, I didn't know. In the end, broke my leg near the ankle, like, you know, about a.
So you weren't in like excruciating pain. It was just things aren't working.
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet. And then I realized I had dislocated my shoulder.
Oh my gosh!
So I had broken my leg and dislocated my shoulder, all on the left side, and. So my neighbors were nice enough. They kept debating, but they were nice enough to take me to the hospital. But because the kids were home, all of them piled in the van, and they all take me. And I am literally in the van going, because the pain in the shoulder. It's not so much the leg. I've broken my feet 6 times. And so a broken leg was like, it's not the end of the world. But
yeah.
And here's the best part. I was featuring that weekend at Goodnights. And I had just
Did
done.
Did you still do it?
I was just there on Thursday night. So that's all I can think about is that. Well, as long as they get me patched up by tonight, I'll figure something out. You know, we'll get me up on stage. So I'm in the hospital. They get me to the hospital. They take me to what I now know is they have a couple of hospitals around here that aren't full-fledged. They're kind of like doc-in-the-box hospitals.
Okay.
They're like a remote version of the real hospital.
All right.
So they took me, and, you know, nobody knows this. You don't know. And so after they
Is it like the same as an urgent care?
No, it's not. It's a hospital, and they can do some stuff, but they can't do
everything.
And so once they figure out what's going on,
offload you to the right hospital.
Correct. And they're like, here's the bad news. The bad news is you've broken your leg, and you've dislocated your shoulder. And I am like, I'm really kind of panicky at this point. Like, I don't, you know, I think it just a lot of shock and a lot of what. And so in the end, when my wife finally shows up, I think I broke down in tears. I was just like, oh, it hurts. Like they didn't know what to do about pain medicine and stuff. And I'm like, I'm in a lot of pain. And so in the end, they take me to the other hospital. It took them like 3 times putting my arm back into socket.
Oh, because, my God, dude.
Well, there's like a rubber gasket between your ball and socket. It's called the labrum.
Uh-huh.
And I had slipped that. And so like every time they do it, I don't know what they would like. They'd x-ray it. Here's what's going on. They'd come in and they'd
pop it.
But they wouldn't like strap my arm down. So the third time they're like, well, we should strap your arm down. Maybe you should have done that first time because this hurts every time. So they did that. And then because I had the busted shoulder, you can't put a guy on crutches.
Oh, yeah.
So they put
a wheelchair bound.
Well, that's what I thought. What
they give you a scooter for your leg.
No.
Oh.
They put a metal pole in your leg. They open
like
up
surgically.
They open up your knee and they basically hammer a pole through the middle of my tibia. So it goes
sounds sexy.
Yeah, and so because having the metal pole is just like saying, well, you know, your bone's gonna fuse. So the you know, so then they put screws at the top and the bottom, and then you can walk around on it in a day or two. So I'm walking around and I got a bust. I got, you know, cast.
You got a shoulder, like, right. Hardest thing.
Best part is, a couple of months later, in like April, they're like, it's still not fusing. We're going to have to go in and put in a slightly bigger pole. So I technically had the exact same surgery on my leg twice to get this thing fixed. Now I'm moving around. I'm going
happy
to physical
holidays.
Therapy. So you can imagine I'm not a big fan. Although the funny thing is
how do you hate Christmas lights now at all?
Well, we have a porch. I can just sort of like get on a stool and just slightly hang some up above the porch. I just don't put them on that peak, and then I, you know what I mean. Like, but I'm tempted. And the reason the whole ladder thing worked is my driveway is slanted, and so between the slanted driveway and the positioned poorly ladder, you know, it just sort of
it's a perfect storm.
It was. It just didn't do right. So I'm not. You know, and on top of everything, it's like, all right, so now I'm not pulling in a daily income.
Yep.
My wife is having to take care of me. She's having to do a lot of things that I can't do, you know, drive and stuff. So she's super not happy with me. I believe while I was medicated in the hospital, she claims I was really ugly and hateful to her. I don't believe that's quite the thing, but I think at one point I was kind of out of my mind on some drugs that they had given me, and then they and I kept being like really thirsty, and I would say things like, are you not going to give me something to drink? You know, and she took that as like, you treated me horribly. I'm like, are you kidding me? You've been high as a kite on some of these headache medications before and has said horrendous stuff, and yet somehow I'm horrendous. So anyway, I don't want to take up too much of your time.
You're not taking up any of my time, but I like, because I have a house now, and so I was going to be able, except for I'm on the road the entire month of December, and I have a neighborhood, although we're not like the, you know how there's always that neighborhood that's like everybody kind of calls Christmas Tree Lane? Do they have that out here too, where it's like, if you live in this neighborhood, you got to go fucking nuts when you...
It's not required or anything, but I mean, people... And the funny thing is...
But in that neighborhood. I've always... When I was a kid, there was a cul-de-sac. I can't even remember the name of the street because we always just called it Christmas Tree Lane.
Yeah, yeah.
That literally people... A line of traffic would flow up and then people would do a lap.
There's several of those in Raleigh. And
I like over the years, like there would be a family that would buy a house in there and they wouldn't decorate their house at all. It's like, really, asshole? Like,
You didn't get the memo?
Yeah.
You turd? Like, we all do this.
I don't know if you noticed, but the rest of us are paying $1,000 a month for electrical bill. What's your fucking deal?
And there's some in our neighborhood. There's some people that like outline their whole house in lights, and so it looks like a gingerbread house. It's really neat. But you know, even though I had the really tall ladder, there was parts I was like, I'm never going to get up there because I'm scared of heights. That's the best part. Like, it's a self fulfilling prophecy that I fell off a ladder and broke stuff because you know, it's like I'm scared of heights. You know, so the next thing I'm going to die from a spider bite because that's my biggest fear. Yeah. So it's
well, that's why I'm excited. My dad always left our Christmas lights up all year round, but I was excited to decorate the house, but I'm literally, I was gone on the road the week before Thanksgiving. Right. I was home Thanksgiving weekend. Then now I'm gone on the road, but I don't go back until December 16th. I'm home that week, but I got to get ready. We're having we do an annual gingerbread house decorating party with some friends of ours. Right. They come over and we make gingerbread houses and then I fucking eat them all. It sucks. and then Christmas happens. And the day after Christmas, I'm gone for 3 weeks straight on the road. So it's like, I don't know if I want to decorate the house. So maybe next year or whatever. But But I like that. That's when I brought this up, and then you have this tragic story.
I'm so sorry. I tell it in my act because you know, I had to go to physical therapy and stuff. So yeah, it's definitely. But I'm telling you, it was not funny for a while.
Oh, I bet.
Like I kept thinking, well, I'll figure out. You know, I even had a gig that following Monday after I'd gotten out of the hospital.
And you didn't
the first
have to cancel
time.
On any of these gigs?
I had to cancel. Oh, good nights. I had to call and he was like. Brad was nice about it. He was like, he gave me a bunch of junk, and he was like, we'll find somebody. Don't worry about it. So they found somebody, and I was more ticked because I just lost the work, and it just makes me look like a boob to whoever. I was working with Keith Alberstadt, and I ran into him recently, and he's like, where did we see each other? I said, I'm the moron that broke his leg and dislocated his shoulder.
Yeah, but you're the only one who thinks that. Nobody thinks of the guy who got hurt and says, what an idiot.
Yeah, no, oh, absolutely. I assume anytime I do something that's stupid, people are like, that big oaf, what a moron.
Nobody does that.
Yeah, well,
that's you in your head.
That's, you know, that's like the lady who told me I had she's a massage therapist who told me the thing about, depending on what hurts or what you do with your body, it signifies something. And she was talking about how, as a massage therapist, one day she's at the Walker station at school, and so she was like, I gotta, you know, file my nails down every day. Because as a massage therapist, I can't have a bunch of long nails. She goes, but there's always just one little thing in every nail. And I was like, you could do what I do and just gnaw your nails down until they bleed, and then you chip your front teeth and just be a moron like me. And she starts laughing, and she knows I'm a comedian and stuff. And I was like, why are you laughing? She goes, well, you know how I was telling you the other day, like, you know, depending on what hurts, that means something. She goes, that actually means something if you chew your fingernails. She goes, but I don't know if you want to hear it. I was like, of course I want to hear
it.
Yeah,
I
want to
hear it.
And she's like, well, it means you have a lot of self-loathing. I'm like, yes, I do.
Yeah.
And I was like,
daddy chews his nails. Yeah. I'll tell you that right
and
now.
And I was like, what, you know, there's no secret there.
The other thing I wanted to talk about here, because Robin, a listener that, and he was a guest on the show from across the pond, sent me this great thing. He probably sent it like a month ago via Twitter, but I just am now getting to it. Because we talked about it. We've talked about it on the show before, where it's like, I think that this show is intended for the parents who love their kids like crazy, but we don't think that parenting is like puppies and kittens and rainbows by any means, right? But I wanted to have something. I had this idea that, and this was like, oh, this is perfect for what I'm talking about. This is a great example where it's like fun things that I think we would like to do. Like the idea of like, there's a pod, I think it's called the Dad Labs or something, is a very popular dad podcast that they do like crafts and stuff for the kids. And,
sweet.
And, which I'm like, yeah, I get it. But it's like, to me, it seems like a lot of time.
Right.
And I don't know why. Maybe you can help me figure this out. But this idea that I'm about to bring up, I like. But making a treasure box with my kid does not seem as fun. But like the idea of making a doghouse. My son wants to build a doghouse for our dog, and I want to use it to like learn some carpentry skills. So I'm going to actually frame it 16 inches off center, and I'm going to insulate it and put some siding on it and try and do as much as like a scaled down version of a house as I can.
Right, right.
But anyway, this thing is from a blog. The website is medium.com/thoughtsoncreativity. But I think if you do a Google search for Welcome to Dinovember, or just go to the Dad Podcast Facebook page, I'll put a link up for this. But it says, Welcome to Dinovember. And what these parents did, I thought it was really cool. They dedicate the entire month. It's like the Elf on the Shelf kind of thing that a lot of parents are doing right now.
Right.
It's the entire month of November. They take their kids' plastic dinosaur toys, and then they have them perform shenanigans around the house while the kids are asleep. And they have some wonderful pictures of some of the things that the dinosaurs have done. So it says, it began modestly enough. The kids woke up to discover that the dinosaurs had gotten into a box of cereal and made a mess on the kitchen table. And then they have the picture of that.
That's awesome.
The next morning, the dinos had climbed into the kitchen counter to raid the fruit bowl. And it's, you know, it's little like dinosaurs that have strawberries shoved in their mouth, or they're carrying like a lime or something like that. This one I'd like. The morning after that, they had managed to breach the refrigerator and help themselves to a carton of eggs. Uh-oh. We heard our girls whisper, Mom and Dad are not going to like this. And so I like this. I like the mischievous part to it. I like the fun. They broke a vase on a table. It looks like these dinosaurs. They got into toilet paper, made another mess of some snacks, it looks like, and baking soda, and got soap and suds in the dishwater. We're playing Operation. did an art project, it looks like. Made a little beach setting and made like little, you know, those and little.
See, these parents have to be like art students, or one of them has to be like very creative.
I like they kidnapped Michelangelo, the Ninja Turtle.
That's awesome.
And have them under a light. So I like that idea. I like the idea of it being something fun that makes the kids go. Like, I like that. I like that thing. Yeah. Where it's like, oh, Mom and Dad are going to be mad. I wish that my dad would have done something like this for me, because I think I don't know how much as a kid they actually buy into, you know, like a suspension of disbelief for a movie.
Right.
Or do they honestly believe that these dinosaurs come to life? You know what I mean?
Yeah, you do. Well, you know, and it's kind of that whole thing with like, you know, Christmas and that sort of thing in general, like. Do they really believe stuff? Do they not believe stuff and that sort of thing? How old are your kids again?
5 and 2.
5 and 2. So they believe everything.
Oh, yeah. We ran into, there was a guy who was very nice, but we were at Disneyland in the Jungle Boat Cruise line.
Right.
And there was a guy dressed as Santa. Like, he looked like, you could tell his job was a mall Santa or whatever. Right. And he had like a t-shirt that looked like the Santa outfit, and he was on his BlackBerry, which I thought was hilarious. And Jack, my 2-year-old, saw him and goes, Santa. And then Jacob goes, no, it's just a guy in a suit. And I was like, is it? I go, maybe. I don't know. And, you know, we walked by.
Vacation.
And you know how they loop back and forth, right? Well, he came back, and then Jacob saw him, and he goes, his way of testing him was to go, hi, Santa. And then the guy goes, hi, how are you? And, oh, my gosh, that kid was like, what?
He vacations where we do.
Yeah, exactly. I go, you saw Santa? I go, what? I go, you think he was on vacation? He goes, yeah, I think he was.
He needs one.
Yeah, because this is like early November. Yeah, I said, before his busy part of the year, I bet. So, yeah, but anyway, you were saying about how much they believe.
Well, yeah, because we had – I don't know that I could get away with that. And a lot of the parents I end up talking to with the Elf on the Shelf, they almost seem – irritated by having to remember. Like, even the one I talked to recently, they're like, we forgot the first day we were supposed to. So we were like, so she's like, so we just said, maybe you just haven't found him yet. She goes, well, we forgot and just did it the next day or something like that. And you know, but a lot of, like, there's like all these websites, I'll see people posted on Facebook where it's like 39 ideas to do with an elf on a shelf, you know. And there's one the other day showing him like hunched over a cookies with those Hershey drops on them, Hershey kisses on them. So it looks like he pooped on a cookie. And I'm like, now here's the thing. I'm not saying that's not funny. I love it. I think it's hilarious.
Yeah.
But is that real? Like, is that what you? So the in theory, the way that it's supposed to look is like this. It's like this stuff was happening, and it was suspended in time the moment you walked in. So you just happened to catch this elf pooping on a cookie, you know, like
and then he froze.
You know, yeah, and he just froze. So I mean, and so I guess for me as an adult, I have a little hard time. But what we recently had to struggle with is we have an 11-year-old, and we could just tell. We were like, I think she knows, you know. So we decided, my wife said, we should just go ahead and tell her, because she's going to do something stupid. And then it's going to
ruin it for your other
right,
one.
Because we have a 6-year-old. So we have 6 and 11. And our technically, somebody, I may have burped. I apologize.
No, I didn't hear it.
Oh, it's not about the hearing. I don't want you to be sitting there later going, God, if I ever to meet with him in person again. smells like gingerbread pancake and some bacon. So anyway, like somebody tried to ruin it last year. Like a cousin just was like, you know, the kids were sitting at a table and she said something and my wife walked in and it just about, you know, had it out. So we decided we were going to break it to her, and we told her, like, here's the truth. Santa's a serial killer. He's never coming back. And no, we did. We explained.
You survived
it.
The summer of Sam.
Yeah, yeah. And she said she kind of knew. You know, it's really hard to avoid the stupid friends at school that say that stuff. You know, so we just were like, look, it's
my theory is I plan to say that Santa only believes only works for the people who believe in him.
That's right.
I literally thought of that while I was in the shower here at this club this week. I was like, I think that's going to be my approach, that because then the kids could do it as long as they
want to.
Yeah.
And that's feasible. Here's where the problem is.
Uh-oh.
It's the gifts. Mm-hmm. Because the wife likes to play these games of like, well, everything from Santa has to be wrapped. Growing up, we had sort of like, here's what Santa left, and not a lot of it was wrapped. So my wife bought like a 6,000-foot roll of paper a couple of years ago. So I end up doing most of the wrapping. Oddly enough, with an art degree, somehow I'm really good at wrapping gifts. So they all look really nice and pretty. And so I end up doing all this wrapping, and I'm somehow supposed to remember, this is, you know, it's all from us, but this is from Santa.
Yeah.
But then you have these conversations a year, 2 years down the road. We're like, well, that's we got her that. And you're like, no, that came from Santa. You're like, mother, you know, you just, you totally forget. And they remember. And then they that's how she ends up like busting you on some stuff. And so we were like, I hate that charade. That's the part I like. It's one of the many lies that I'm so tired of like trying to hold up, you know, and like.
I have a solution. Here's what we start doing. So neighbors, so you go to your neighbors that have kids,
right?
And you purchase the items that they want from Santa,
right?
And then they in turn do the same for you, so that there is no then it in your subconscious. It's,
yeah, you never
you realize
like,
that when they
that,
come
yeah.
from the Johnsons,
right?
That it came from Santa.
That's not a bad idea. That's not not too bad.
Then there's never a slip up.
Yeah, there's well, and the funny part is my wife's the one who ends up doing most of the slipping up. Like, you know, I'm she's the one who's like, we've got to do this, and like what happened last year is they got, you know, I think I even told the thing about the, you know, the kid who with the doll at the guy delivered the doll, and she like looked at the package, so she knew what it was. We instantly had to change our plans and make it that the dolls were from us and not from Santa. So all this doll stuff came from my wife and I. We had to change what came from Santa. But right there at the end, I wrapped up a bunk bed for the dolls, and I wrapped it up in Santa paper. And damn if they didn't open it up and go, well, I guess Santa knew we were getting dolls. I'm like, crap. Like,
yeah,
like,
but then they just buy into it because that's what they want to think.
I know, but it's like,
you worry way too much.
Oh, that's my, yeah.
Yeah, that's your thing.
That's
I know.
Yeah, I fret for that should be a profession.
You should have more gray hair. Let's be honest.
I really should, yeah. But it's because it's red, or it would be. You know, I got the temples going, so it's very. And my wife likes to be sure and point out all the ones I do have because technically, if she didn't color hers, she'd be pretty gray.
So. But so, have you ever done anything like this, like a Dinovember with your kids? Anything similar that?
No, we do. You know, we always do the cookie stuff. So
What's the cookie? Oh, like the cookies.
You leave cookies out, and then somebody's got to eat them. You know, and I'm like, well, if I got to, you know, cookies and milk.
Do you have an idea why it is that I don't look at this and I'm not annoyed by this? You know what I mean? Like, I'm genuinely.
No, I'm not.
I have a joke in my when I plug the podcast in my stand-up, I say that. I go, I do a podcast for parents, but I have to give you this little disclaimer. If you're the kind of parent who's like, you know what we did last weekend is we made decoupage silhouettes
right,
of the kids.
Right.
We put them in the back of the minivan, and we sing show tunes on the way to our Disneyland adventure. Yeah. It is not the show for you.
No, yeah, yeah.
But it's because those kind of parents really do drive me up a wall because my personal opinion is I think they're lying, and they aren't open and honest about the struggles that they have.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But this kind of stuff, I think, is fun. I think it's cool.
No, like, I think these are like the.
I mean, would I let them crack eggs on my kitchen floor? No, I would not let the dinosaurs.
Well, but
do that.
See, that's the parents going. Let's just sacrifice a dozen eggs.
Yeah,
and
but that's
fun.
What I mean. It's like it's a couple bucks.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. By me living in this little blinder-esque approach to parenting,
right.
I don't get to have these fun moments.
Right, 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 right.
So maybe this is something that I could learn from a parent.
Oh, I think it's
like
great.
This.
It's, again, this is
that's why I want to do this as a more regular segment where it's like little parenting wins that we can all kind of look at. Because honestly, I look at this and it kind of makes me feel like a dick that I haven't thought of doing.
Correct,
this.
Correct.
Like I don't love my kids.
But here's the thing: for me, I could never pull this off. And it's not that I couldn't stage something cute and funny. I could. I'm an artist.
Yeah,
I got
exactly.
I got this down. No problem. For me, it's all about my kids are turds, so they would work hard at ruining it.
Yeah.
Instantly.
Oh, I didn't think of that.
And so like. It would be one of these things where it's like, you know, like they'd come down and be like, but we didn't have these eggs. Where'd they come from? Or we didn't, you know, like, we don't have dinosaurs in the house. Why were these, you know, and you're like.
They're going to Sherlock Holmes it?
Yeah.
I wonder where they get their overthinking.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Stay frosty.
It was funny. It was funny because I did a new joke last night about David Blaine, and I was like, I like being fooled. The whole time I'm watching it, I'm trying to figure it out, but I love being fooled. I said, you know, not like Invisible Man in the Sky, you know, you can't eat pork kind of fooled, but I like being but, you know, I like being fooled, and, you know, David Blaine is, looks like every one of his tricks, he was high as a kite, and
yeah.
It's just, he's the weirdest. I mean, I like him, I like watching that stuff, but he is just, here, sign this.
He's like, pick
a card, any card, don't pick the jacks, because they scare the crap out of me, and then just sign your name on it, because I'm going to need that signature later to co-sign on a loan, and then... And then put it back in the deck.
I wish I could have seen that special he did. Cause
yeah.
I just
oh, I did.
It.
I watched it.
I like that inexplicably Olivia Wilde was wearing a tube top. Like,
dude,
just...
that was like – and you know what? That's totally the thing that that'll get you like, yep, Olivia Wilde in a tube top will get me to turn that on.
It did. I was like,
yeah.
I don't know why. Like,
because she's gorgeous.
Well, yeah, but like
ridiculously.
You don't want to fall for that. You know what I mean?
Like, you don't, but like the best was Harrison Ford. He was like – he did a trick in Harrison Ford's kitchen.
Get out
and
of
Harrison,
house.
Yeah, he's like – get the fuck out of my house.
Oh, he did really
say
that?
Oh, yeah. He
oh,
was
that's
like,
funny.
They bleeped it. And I don't mind if you bleep me, too. And Justin's like, no, you curse. It's,
yeah.
We got it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was hilarious. I mean, to me, it's...
He literally said, get the fuck out of my
house. Yeah. Yeah, he looked at him...
Was he angry?
He kind of looked at him like...
It's hard to tell with Harrison Ford.
Yeah,
I feel like him and David Blaine have that in common now.
Yeah. Well, but see, did you see the thing where Harrison Ford was on, like, maybe Conan or something, and Chewbacca was in the audience asking...
That's Jimmy Kimmel.
Jimmy Kimmel, sorry. Yeah. And Chewbacca was asking something,
It's a reoccurring bit that Kimmel does.
I love it. I love it. And so that's kind of what it was. Like Harrison Ford literally had that thing.
And the bit that Kimmel does is that him and Chewie and Harrison Ford have had a falling out.
Right.
And my favorite line that he ever says is like, they have this, oh, like that just plays. And the Harrison Ford goes, "You son of a bitch." Like,
I've seen it, but I totally forgot. Oh, yeah.
It's the best. When he says, "You son of a bitch." Chewy.
So he's it's along those lines of like, he's really good actor in the sense of like, he doesn't break even in his own kitchen. He's just like,
get the fuck out.
Yeah. But I'm more like, you know, like, how does he not get killed? He was like in the jungles in like Africa. I'm like, I was watching another special. I'm like, how do you not just get beheaded for like making a card float in front of some kid? You know, it's like, oh, it's the devil. Like, kill him, kill his ass.
Exactly.
And, you know, so it's, but anyway, I don't mean to go off on a tangent about David Blaine, but it's one of those things where like, I feel like I would love to do this stuff, but we had our yearly checkup for both girls on Monday. And I said something to my wife. I'm like, there's something wrong with our 6-year-old. How much time do I need to?
You're fine.
I was like, there's something wrong with her. I'm like, because she wakes up crying about like having to get dressed, having to brush her hair. This isn't what
I
wanted
to
eat.
We were talking about this last night at the club.
Yeah. You know, this isn't what I want to eat. I don't want to. And so we did talk about this at the club. Yeah. And then it's the same at night. I don't want to brush my teeth. Why do you have to read and all this shit? And the doctor was, I was like, I swear, I think she's bipolar or something. And he's like, what she's telling me, she's just, you know.
A child.
Yeah, she's just a kid and you just need to take more control. I'm like, you know, I think a large man getting in the face of a kid going, would you shut the hell up and do what I tell you to, should be scary enough. And somehow it's not. They literally look at me like, bring it on, mother. You know, like it's.
Yeah, but that's you.
It is. And that's the thing. Like, I look like a giant clown.
I'm not getting real in this at all. But you are there, like what we've talked about with the Hells Angels. There's nothing intimidating about you.
Yeah, this is true. Although when I'm angry, my kids are scared, and my wife's not real happy. So I am literally like the Hulk.
Yeah,
I am literally like Bruce Banner is the most unassuming.
Especially
Bill Bixby.
Impaired.
But Jesus Christ, if I get mad, I am the Red Hulk. And as a matter of fact, I always keep wondering why nobody ever poses that question on the internet. You know, in a fight, who would win, Big A or the Hulk? Because
I think it's a common thread out there on Facebook.
It should be, and because I think I'd give him a run for the money. Yeah. I don't like that, but you know, when I get angry, it's not pretty. So, and it happens regularly. So. They are insane. The stuff that they do.
And you're just about to get into teenager. You're like knocking on the door.
And everybody says that. Everybody's like, you wait till they're teenagers. I'm like, seriously, I will get rid of them. They are like, the stuff that they do is just stupid. Like,
Dad, what's this? This is your emancipation paperwork.
Yeah, here you go. This is an address of a nice couple that if you walk there, maybe they'll take you in. Don't tell them anything you've ever done. Like, And I love my kids, but my God, they, and everybody's like, well, you know, they're girls. So I always thought, well, you know, good thing we got girls. No. They are horrendous.
Yeah.
Like
they're mental ninjas, I've heard, girls.
So bad. And you know, you got, so we split it up this year. In the past, we've always met with the doctor, my wife and I, and the two kids all in one room. This year, we said we want two rooms because as the older one's getting older, she's going to have some certain issues we don't really want to discuss and that sort of thing. And my wife's like, all right, well, you ask him about, you know, her mental faculties. And then my wife talked to the doctor about my oldest one's severe problem with food. Now, I know it's hard to believe that, one of my children –
what?
I know, hard to believe that my kids would have a food issue.
Yeah.
But she sneaks food, like, I've never seen, like, she almost takes what I've done for years and is like, well, I want to just.
And ups the game.
Yeah.
No, that's the idea of progression. That's
I know.
That's
but
evolution,
but
my friend.
But you have to realize.
She's evolved to surpass your ways.
Well, she thinks, but what she doesn't realize is I'm really good.
Yeah.
And she's not. And so let's say you sneak food. Throw the shit away. Put that wrapper in the trash can. Do what I
don't
do.
Leave
put,
the
it, put it in the neighbor's can. Who gives a crap? And she's like, well, if I just put it behind the couch, no one will know. I'm like, yes, we will. We clean every now and then. And they, you know, the other morning she woke up and ate cupcakes and put them behind the couch. And I'm like, I just didn't lock them in the pantry, son of a, you know, like. Unbelievable. So, anyway, I love my children. Every time I'm on here, I feel like I just bash the crap out of them.
That's okay. It's you taking the edge off. But it's having a drink right now.
It's completely different. You know, like they do stuff every now and then. They're like, that's so awesome. And then but they can ruin everything in a heartbeat.
That's what kids
and
do.
Last night, my wife and I, before I went to the club, I went to Taco Bell. I was telling you this last night. We went to Taco Bell, which my
that's
wife
right.
and I never,
story.
Never go. We never go to Taco Bell. But it was near. So we go. We eat Taco Bell while the kids are at a church thing, and she's like, "I should get them like a dessert or something so they can eat it on the way home or whatever, or when they get home, so you know they you know I don't have to hear from them." And I was like, "Okay." So they have brownies at Taco Bell. I know, very Mexican, yeah. And so they have these brownies, and so she gets them, she takes them, and I'm sitting there. I hadn't been at the club for an hour, and I already get an email that says. They are horrendous. In case you didn't remember, your children are horrendous. Nobody got any brownies. And I was like, oh, well, that's awesome. So somehow in
does it even get mentioned? Like, you guys were going to have brownies, but you screwed that up?
I don't know if she did or not. I didn't ask. All I know is
I like the idea that your wife gets so stressed that she just eats the brownies.
And that's highly possible. But the funny part is I haven't left the house, for the most part, that I think of in a month to go do comedy. I'm gone for an hour.
Yeah.
An hour. Yeah. I've only been gone for an hour. And
everything falls apart.
They are horrendous. Now, I want you to know, they're horrendous for me when she's not home. She's been to a bunch of stuff. She went to see Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Then she went to a funeral the next night. Then the next day she had a hair appointment. And then this. And so there's always something. And then – so there's all these nights that she hasn't been there. I am never texting my wife going, these assholes are – I have sent them outside.
I like that her night out is a funeral. I like that.
I know. By the way, it counts. It counts. Yeah. Awake counts. No, I don't care what you say.
I can totally get it. When you're the stay-at-home parent, the idea of
anything,
a funeral
anything
is still,
counts. Anything
still
counts.
More fun than what you did.
Yeah, by the way, that is – because it's just you catching up with people that, you know, had a
other
family
adults,
member die.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm sorry to hear about it. What are y'all up to? Here's some mac and cheese. how is Bob? Oh, he's dead. I forgot.
Well, on that note, let's do some moments of the week. Don't quit apologizing.
You made them. You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them.
Right, Andy?
I love that every time.
But occasionally,
that makes me
give you that
time.
One sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the week, brought to you by Stitcher, the free app that handles all your podcasting needs without having to sync to your computer. Stream all your favorite podcasts right to your Droid, BlackBerry, or iPhone. Just go to thedadpodcast.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the left-hand side. It's free, people, and they give us money if you do it.
All right, so my moment of the week was actually the right before I left to come here on the road. It was pretty cute. I had a great day that I shared with on the last week, but that night I was getting ready and getting stuff done, and Jacob kept coming out of his room doing the thing to sneak out, but it was pretty sweet that he kept coming and wanting to give me another hug, you know, before I left. And I knew when he was born and I was doing stand-up that it was like, oh, this is going to – at a certain point, I'm going to hit a point where I'm like, I don't want to leave and go on the road anymore. And I'm getting to that point more and more as they get older. But it was just really cute. And then my wife was – she puts them to bed, right? She does the bedtime thing. And so he was coming out to give me another hug, and my wife yelled at him. She was like, Jacob, what are you doing? And I go, hey, calm down. Like, because I'm like, I'm getting my fucking hugs before I go out on the road. It's like I didn't want to yell at her because the other, which is kind of, and so this, so anyway, well, the reason I didn't want to yell at her is because he's adopted his father's ability to nitpick at everything his mother does. So that's a little gift I give to her, a little something extra for the lady.
I'm really glad your wife supposedly does not listen to this podcast.
She wouldn't care if she did, even if she
used to. What's her name? What's her name again?
Natalie.
Natalie. I'm very sorry, Natalie. I swear you're a nice lady. I've seen pictures. You're a lovely lady.
She's a very nice lady.
And I'm sorry.
Well, listen, she signed up for this. Let's all be honest with what's going on. If anybody feels bad for my wife, let's think about what kind of psychological issues she's got going on that she looked at this and said, I'm in.
I said that last night on stage. I said, sometimes I look at my wife and go, what the hell was she thinking?
Yeah. It's true. And so, and then the same kind of thing with, while I was packing, Jack, he goes, you go to work? And I said, yeah. He goes, bye, Dad. I love you. And I go, well, no, I'm not leaving right now. He's like, oh, okay. But he's two. So then goes by, you go to work. And it's, you know, the fucking loop.
Yeah, you get
on with a two-year-old conversation.
That's great because it seems like a touching moment. Then all of a sudden, 18 times later, it's like, yes, I am going to work. Yes, Shut up.
Well, that's what they are. They're like those little toys that have like eight different – it's like the Iron Man toy that says eight different things. And it's just pushing the button. You go to work? You go to work. Bye, Dad. I love you. Oh, okay. You go to work? You go to work? Bye, Dad. I love you. I sleep good. That's his other thing that he likes to say. So those were my cute little moments as I was leaving and knowing that they're going to love me and miss me, although they probably don't even know I'm gone now. But anyway, so now your turn, Mr. Forrester.
I was trying to think of one. Always a difficult part of the show for me because, to be honest, it literally is a turd fest from morning to night at my house.
I like that it's like a gauntlet.
Oh, it is like the hardest part. Like, I'll literally think about it on the way or before we talk. And I'm like... What am I going to say that's nice, you know? And to be honest, like the good stuff, it's not nearly as funny as the horrendous stuff that they do. Because, the horrendous stuff that they do is, like, it takes me a while, but it usually becomes hilarious later. So, but I will say that my kids have this thing where if they're mad at me for whatever reason, like this morning, my older daughter thought she's like, you just punched me in the nose. And I didn't. What happened was, is we got in the van for me to take her to school, and she was on her iPod, and it looked like she was on Facebook, which my child's not allowed to be on Facebook. So I reached over to grab it, and as I did, she's got it near her face. She pulls it closer to her face,
and then
my hand is in between, and so she basically pulled my hand in towards her face and said, she starts crying. You punched me in the nose. That's not the positive thing, by the way. But it's definitely the sort of thing that makes it where my kids like hate me for the day or a week or a month or a year or a lifetime. And I feel it's more like the lifetime at this point with both of them. And my youngest one will really get mad at stuff and will be like, you know, no, I don't like it because, you know, you put me in timeout. I'm like, well, you were a jerk about this. Like, don't, you know. So they will not do stuff that they should. Purely out of spite that they're mad at me for whatever reason at the moment. And one of them is hold my hand when they need to.
Yeah, like in parking lots.
Parking lots, you know, going while we walk to school from a little, you know, slight distance. And so it's like, you know, you need to be holding my hand. And especially because, you know, kids will dart out not knowing. And I'm not going to have it. I don't need to be tackling my kid. And so I was holding my daughter's hand last night, walking her into church, my little one. And I try to almost play games with it. You know, we end up walking on like a sidewalk that has like posts. So we're holding hands. And every time we get to a post, I make it look like we're going to keep holding hands. I'm going to wrap around the post. And real quick, I let go and grab it again.
Dinosaurs.
It is. So I do stuff like that all the time, you know. And so she just looks up at me. She goes, I like holding your hand, Dad.
Aww.
She goes, it's always nice and warm. I'm like, I like holding your hand, too. It's usually cold and clammy, but I like it. It's actually usually wet because she still sucks her thumb at six. So we're cutting that off today. I'm getting out the tree branch loppers, and we're just going to lop that thumb off. And,
Do you take one, or are you going
to
go
both? We may have to go both. If she alternates and goes the other one. But the doctor told me the other day, I was like, she's still doing it. He goes, gum. I'm like, I can't give her gum during school. So he's like, well, you know, when she tracks out, just make it a point. She has gum all the time. She loves that idea. But then she's still sucking.
I didn't know that was a cure for thumb sucking.
It's an oral fixation thing to suck your thumb, just like chewing your fingernails type thing. So she's like, well, this'll soothe me. And she rubs a blanket while she does it. So it's all very – and I'm like, I don't know how to get her – you know, I really don't want to take – because it's a material. I don't want to take all of that material away, but we're real tempted. Because we have like a comforter, three blankets, a couple of pillows. It's a lot of shit.
Yeah.
Memo, it's what she calls the – it's called Minky Dot, if you want to know what kind of stuff it is. You Google Minky Dot, and that's the material. It's unbelievably soft, and it's got these little bumps that are like in a pattern.
Those are her blanket.
So she calls it Memo. She came up with it when she was a kid. It's my Memo. And so every one of them is a Memo. Where's the blue and pink Memo? Where's the green Memo? Where's the Memo pillow? Where's the memo? Yeah. This is she walked by. She was in Target the other day, and there was a stuffed animal, and it had some of that material on it. She's like, "Look, Dad," and she touches it. It's a ladybug, and she instantly like touches it and starts putting her thumb up to her mouth. I'm like, "Dude, not in the Target." But invariably, she ends up putting that nasty wet thumb on me in some way, shape, or form. So yeah. I've turned this positive thing of her saying, "I like it when you hold my hand, Dad," to her and her nasty thumb. But anyway, I love my kids. I really do. They're awesome. Still for sale, but they're just, you know, they're insane. So.
Well, you love them. That's why the price has gone up on the kids.
It has. I will pay you twice what I was going to offer before for you to take them. So, you know, before I was just offering $100. So I'm up to $200 if you'll take them. So I will pay you and you can have them.
All right. Well, that was our show. You can send an email to show@thedadpodcast.com. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/dadpodcast. Follow the show on Twitter @dadpodcast. Me on Twitter @JustinWorsham. You could follow Andy Forrester, a.k.a. Comic Big A, @ComicBigA, or you could find his show dates and all that stuff at ComicBigA.com. Do you have any upcoming shows? This is coming out the second week of December.
I'm going to be at Goodnights next
Raleigh
weekend.
Raleigh people.
Yeah, I'm featuring for Greg Morton, and then I am headed to Canada at the end of the
Yuck
year.
Yucks.
No, Calgary. Uh-huh. I can't remember. The Comedy Cave, I think, maybe, in Calgary, and I'm headlining the weekend.
Congrats.
I know, I'm excited. And then I'm co-headlining with Bent Washburn on New Year's Eve.
Oh,
do you know Bent Washburn?
Yes.
He's awesome.
He's great.
He got me the gig. He's the best. And he's like, "Hey, you want to
tell him I said hello?"
I will do it. He's awesome. So I'm doing that in Canada at the end of the year, and I'm excited because the wife said okay. And so months ago. But yeah, hey, one more thing, and this is completely weird, but I have several of my jokes have been turned into greeting cards, and two more have frankandfunny.com. Those are greeting cards written by comedians, some of which you know, Tom Rhodes and even Kathy Ladman, people like that. So there's famous people, and then there's morons like me. So, yeah, go to there.
How can they find your greeting cards in there?
There is an author with each one. You know, if you go to the homepage, it used to have one of mine, like, right there up front, you know.
But can they do, like, a search for Comic Big A or what?
Or Andy Forrester. Yeah, okay. Andy Forrester.
Once they get to that.
If there's a search feature
Frank
on
and
there.
Funny.
Frankandfunny.com.
Like the name Frank?
Frank, yep.
Okay.
FRANKAND.
And I'll put it in the description, too, so people can read it.
Yeah, so it's really cool. I mean, you know, all the cards are you know, pretty funny. I enjoy, you know.
No, it's great. And you could buy them online, and then they personalize them, and then they print them for you and mail them to the people, or what?
No, you could technically, there's a place that'll say, like, "Hey, here's where it's sold in your area.
You could go buy it there."
Yeah,
too.
So they're not like in Hallmark. They're in like kind of specialty stores, but they're working on getting them in like Whole Foods and stuff like that. They want like a whole line of like, you know, fairly clean, and then they'll like Whole Foods would like give them the whole rack, and so
that's cool.
That way, more will sell. And I'm not necessarily trying to shill for myself so much as it's just a neat thing. So.
No, that is cool. That's awesome.
So anyway, sorry.
So yeah, do that. Frankandfunny.com as well. Also go to thedadpodcast.com and do the paid subscribership. Pretty please. If you do $2 a month or $24 a year, if everybody listening did that, it would change my life. Right now, we still have 32. People that are paid subscribers. If I get it up to 50, I want to start doing a live call-in show every so often. And then if I get 100 paid subscribers, then I'm going to add another show, do more shows within a month kind of thing. So I think that's it. On behalf of my good friend, Andy Forrester, this is Justin Worsham saying, stay frosty.